Let's continue reading verses 12 through 21 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Now in the second half of the chapter, Peter reminds his readers that the Christian faith is not based on some fanciful fable, but it's based on the solid foundation of the revealed Word of God. Let's read verses 12 through 18. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Once again, some background notes. In these verses that we just read, Peter mentions two events from his own experience with the Lord. The mention of these two events from Peter's personal life support the fact that the Apostle Peter was indeed the author of this epistle. The first event was when the Lord revealed to Peter that he would be a martyr. Verse 14, once again, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. This event took place at Peter's restoration on the shores of the Sea of Galilee after the Lord's resurrection. I'm reading John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, where the Lord said to Peter, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." As you know, according to reliable tradition, Peter was martyred by being crucified upside down. Peter probably wrote this second epistle of Peter shortly before his martyrdom, as he intimates here in verse 14. Verse 14 again, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Now, why did Peter mention this event from his life here in the second half of 2 Peter chapter 1? Because, as he mentioned in verses 12 and 13, he wanted to make sure that his readers were firmly established in the truth before his soon coming departure. Peter was an eyewitness and would not be with them much longer, but they would have his epistles to remind them. Verse 15. The other event that Peter mentions from his experience with the Lord was the Mount of Transfiguration, verses 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Let's read about this event in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Where in Israel is the Mount of Transfiguration called here the Holy Mountain in verse 18? Answer, we don't know. Come with me to the Holy Land, and I will show you Mount Tabor, the traditional site of the Transfiguration. But we don't know for sure. Why did Peter mention this event of the transfiguration here in 2 Peter chapter 1? He wanted his readers to know that the Christian faith was not a figment of his imagination. No, it's the truth. He, along with James and John, saw with their own eyes the majesty of Christ, verse 16, and they heard with their own ears the voice of God from heaven, verses 17 and 18. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points. Doctrine point number one, the Christian faith is not a cleverly devised fable. The Christian faith is not a cleverly devised fable. Verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Did you realize that the Christian faith has a very unique basis and foundation when compared to all other world religions? The Christian faith is based not just on the teachings of Jesus. It is based on events that took place in history. This is unique. It's unnaturally unique. You see, the Christian faith is false and futile if Jesus did not rise bodily from the dead in history. Other religions are based on the teachings of their founder, not on events in history. Islam, for example, is based on the teachings of Muhammad, not on events in history. Christianity is unique. You see, anyone can start a new religion based on some new teachings. Christianity is so different than any of your other world religions because it is rooted in historical events. If the miracles reported in the New Testament and the resurrection of Christ did not really take place in history, then Christianity is a fable, regardless of what Jesus taught. It's just another religion. Peter's point here is that Christianity is not just another world religion. It is not a cleverly devised fable. It's the truth. It's based not just on the teachings of Jesus, but on the acts of Jesus in history. Historical events that could be checked out. There were eyewitnesses. Praise the Lord. The Christian faith is not a cleverly devised fable. Doctrine point number two. The Christian faith is not a man-made religion. The Christian faith is not a man-made religion. Verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Christian faith is not a man-made religion. It is the God-given truth. It has been communicated to us by God Himself through His Word. The Bible is not the word of man about God. No, it is the word of God to man. Verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What a great proof text for the inspiration of Scripture. It goes right along with 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what the Bible is claiming in these great Scriptures is that both the writers and the writings of Scripture were inspired. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the writings are in view. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the writers are in view. Now, what does verse 19 mean when it says, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure or more certain, as some of your translations have it? I mean, if the Bible is truth, how can we make it more sure? Well, the point that Peter is making here is that the prophetic scriptures are confirmed when the prophecies are fulfilled. The event of the transfiguration, that Peter mentioned in verses 17 and 18 was a confirmation of the kingdom prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures. You realize that? The Mount of Transfiguration was a glimpse of what the kingdom of our Lord on earth will be like in a coming day. The Lord will be here in all his glory, and the saints will be here as well, as illustrated on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the prophecies concerning the coming kingdom of Christ on this earth were confirmed by the Transfiguration event. Now, verse 19 goes on to say that the confirmed word of God in our hearts is like a light shining in a dark place. It gives us light in this dark world until the Lord returns as the morning star for his church and as the glorious sun at daybreak for his earthly kingdom. Verse 19. Now, what does verse 20 mean? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? Well, there are several interpretations. Does it mean that interpretation of any Scripture must be subject to all the rest of Scripture? That's one possibility. Does it mean that interpretation of the Bible is not the Bible saying what you want it to say? Most likely, in the context, it means that the prophetic scriptures did not originate with the prophets themselves. Their writings came from God himself, as the context, as verse 21 says. So the Christian faith is based solidly on the revealed word of God. The Christian faith is not a man-made religion. Now, what about practical application from this second half of 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, a tent is temporary. Back in verses 13 and 14, Peter refers to his body as a tent. Verses 13 and 14. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. A tent is a temporary dwelling place, and that's the point. Let me ask you, how do you view your body? You know, some people, even Christians, treat their bodies as if they were going to live forever in this present earthly body. Well, that's not a biblical view of the body. And to view our bodies as tombs is not a biblical view of the body either. No, our bodies are tents, temporary dwelling places. Now we should take care of our tents and not abuse our tents. And yes, there is a place for physical exercise and staying in shape, etc., etc. But remember, our present physical bodies are only tents. As believers, we look forward to our permanent resurrection bodies, which will not age. And they will not be subject to sin. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? So get the right view of your body. Remember, a tent is temporary.